Well, good morning. I know that last week as we were here and talked and looked at Scripture, I said that we were going to spend some time last week and this week talking about service and what it means to serve. And that was my full intent until Monday. And I decided to shift gears a little bit for this morning because I just felt it was probably appropriate to do so. For those of you that are from this area, from Lebanon County, from Annville, Cleona, specifically, Monday was kind of a hard day. If you had your radio on, or if you were on social media, or if you watched the news. What happened here on Monday was devastating to our community. And you can go online if you don't know what I'm talking about, and just look up the name Max Schallenberger, and you're going to see a story that will rip your heart apart. Max is a 12-year-old boy that died on May 26th of this year. Not only did he die, but it was a result of absolute evil, wickedness, horrific actions towards this young man that actually led to his death. I thought this morning that it might be wise to take some time because so often, as believers in Christ, as people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, when things like this happen, there's a very fair question that many have. That question is, where is God? Where is God in a situation that took place over the course of the last years, right down the road from us? Where is God? And there's other moments in our lives, if we're being honest, where we feel broken for whatever reason. Maybe it's just the hand of cards that life has dealt you. Maybe it's the consequences of something that has taken place in your life or even a decision that you have made. And the question still remains, where is God? And so often I think it's a fair question. At least I like to think it's a fair question because I've asked that question before. So this morning we're going to look at the book of Isaiah. So I encourage you to turn with me to Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 40, and we're going to look at the first verses there. In this passage, the people are coming to the end of a really long national crisis that had taken place, right? We are at the beginning of a little bit of a crisis, perhaps, or a hard time or a brokenness within our community right now. But these people that we're looking at in Isaiah, they've been struggling for a long, long time. And still, there is this passage that we're going to look at this morning. That there's a call to the prophet Isaiah to speak to the people during this time of crisis. There's this call to proclaim a message. God says, cry out and give some hope to people. And in response to this, Isaiah says, what in the world can I cry out? All All life had faded away and withered like flowers in the field, he says. And God's response is to make clear a message of comfort for those who are in crisis, to those walking in brokenness. So in Isaiah, starting at verse 1, chapter 40, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The voice says, "Cry out." And Isaiah says, "What shall I cry?" He says, "All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them." Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a mountain, on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift your voices with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." I love that we sang this morning the song, "Blessed Be Your Name." One of the parts of that song, I went out during the song after we sang it together, and I printed the words because I didn't want to mess it up. And one of the parts of the song is just simply this: "Every blessing you pour out will turn back to praise." And then it goes on to say, "When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name." There's a story from Elie Wiesel, which is a Holocaust survivor, a political activist, an author. And in one of the books that was written by him, there's this wonderful yet troubling story of a man who lived in Europe during the Second World War. And this man is a Jew living in a community where the Nazis have invaded. He's very devoted to God. There's no question about that in his life. But he's also a bit on the crazy side. We'll just add that into the story. The day that the Nazis invaded, this man goes into hiding. He's wise in that sense. When it is safe to do so, he comes out of hiding. He runs to the synagogue, the story goes. He looks up at the ceiling and he says, "You see, God, we are still here. We are still here." After the Nazis invade, the German army begins a series of oppressive moves against the Jews. There are crackdowns on the population. Occasionally a number of Jews are rounded up and they're put onto trains and they're never seen or heard of again. And each time this happens, this little crazy man, he runs into hiding, and when he thinks it's safe to do so, he comes out of the hiding, he runs to the synagogue, he looks up at the ceiling, he says, "You see, God, we are still here." But eventually, after many, many of these crackdowns, this little man finds himself alone in his community, the last living Jew in town. As was the custom, after he felt that it was safe to, he came out of hiding, he walked into a sanctuary. He looked up at the ceiling and he whispered, You see, God, I am still here. And after a moment's pause, he added, he said, but you, God, where are you? In life, we all begin what we consider a routine day every day when we wake up and roll out of bed. Some days, most days for us, are just that. They're routine days. We wake up, we go about our normal business just as we had planned in our schedules. But then there's days that aren't so routine. There are days or periods of time that stick into our heads forever because of something unusual that took place. I know for myself, there have been certain times in history that something has just stuck in my mind, and I can tell you where I was or what I was doing the moment that those things happened, and it's the same for each one of you as well. I can remember driving in my car as a young man between Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and Calgary, Alberta, and hearing that Princess Diana had died in a horrific, tragic accident. I can remember where I was and what I was doing when the World Trade Centers came crumbling down. These days started out like routine days, but they ended very differently than I had ever anticipated. We all woke up to what we believed would be a routine day this last Monday. But it didn't stay routine very long as soon as you heard the news of what had taken place. For me, I first caught wind of these murder charges that were pressed against these two parents in the morning because of a news alert on my phone that popped up. Then they were saying that the district attorney's office was going to be giving a press conference in a little bit, and that, of course, piqued my interest in what's going on. So I read multiple articles about this absolutely heinous crime that took place. But none of those articles had the details and the gut punch that came at this press conference when we heard what actually took place. Many of you, I'm going to guess, probably read and looked at reports about the murder of this little boy, Max. This literally made me sick to my stomach for the rest of the day. That evening, we had a church board meeting, and we just spent time at the beginning of our service praying in regards to this situation and unrest within our world. It became the focus of my time for that day, and I know it was for many, many people. I really believe that it is in times like that we, like the little crazy man in the story we just read about, we say, we're still here, God, but where are you? There's so many things we have during times of great shock and evil. I know this has changed the Anvil-Cleona community forever. It has. People in our community, in our church, in the greater Lebanon County community are feeling all kinds of emotions and feeling them rightfully so. They're feeling anger. And of course we're angry. Of course we have rage at what took place to this little boy. This community is our home, either by birth or by choice, and it's been violated through this absolutely utter evil act. People feel grief, and that's natural. Why wouldn't we? Max has died. Some of you probably know Max's half-siblings, or even the people that were called Max's parents. We know the lives of so many people have been shattered and forever changed as a result of May 26th and the years leading up to that. People, I guarantee you are dealing with anxiety. How could we not worry about tomorrow and what it might bring? This event shows us that it is certainly possible for us to know little or nothing about what takes place behind the closed doors of each and every house as we drive through our communities. Until Monday, we've never had the thought in our heads that something so horrific could be happening as you're sitting at the light at 422 and 934, literally right in front of his house, 20 feet down from his window. Happened to me 3 times this week. 20 feet away is this dungeon of terror. Of course there's going to be anxiety. Many believers will question God. People will ask, was God not paying attention over the last years? Did God turn his back for some reason? Why was God absent in this situation? Why did it seem like God removed his blessing from Max and this community? As believers, when there is a tragedy in our lives, we are often haunted by the feeling that God may have deserted us. It's in our humanness. In the Old Testament, there's a very profound book about suffering. The book is the book of Job. And it's all about a man by that name that suffers terribly. Terribly. I would encourage you to go home and over the course of the next week, read through the book of Job and look what Job went through during the course of his life. He loses his wealth. He loses his property. He loses his son in a tragic death. He loses his health. He loses everything that he has. He has incredible pain and illness a part of his life. Time and time again, Job cries out to God in prayer. And at one point, Job asked in Job chapter 13, verse 24, he says, "Why did you hide your face from me, God?" And then later, he wants to talk to God face to face and ask God a series of questions. And in frustration, he says, and this is Job 23, verse 3, "If only I knew where to find him." It's the most discouraging feeling in the world. The feeling that maybe God has deserted us in this moment of our lives, in this moment of great need. Have you ever had that feeling? I certainly have questioned God and his presence in my life at times. But listen, in the New Testament, it's most likely the most discouraging moment that Jesus ever experienced, right? He's hanging on the cross. And Jesus cries out. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Many of us have watched and read more news on television this last week than we probably should have. We've probably spent too much time on social media trying to discover more details. Some of us have probably felt like we somehow were absent in Max's life. If only we could have known somehow, right? Some of us have certainly asked, where were the families? Where were the friends of Max and his family during this time in his life? Some have probably questioned, where were the police or children's services? These people, they all let us down, right? Another very fair question that people will ask is, where was God? That question, where is God, is a question that was being asked in our Old Testament passage of Isaiah that we read. It's a rather natural question to ask in times of crisis. We are a community in mourning. In the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, the prophet is told to proclaim a message and to announce a message of comfort to the people. Beginning in verse 1, the scripture says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." Now, these people had suffered terribly. You've got to remember this. They had endured a long national crisis. And God tells them, He tells the prophet in verse 6, He says, "Cry out." And in response, the prophet looks up at God and he says, with a sense of hopelessness, he says, "What should I cry? What should I say?" It's a hard moment for Isaiah. He is told to proclaim a message of comfort. Right? First two words of our passage, comfort, comfort my people. He's told to proclaim a message of comfort. Most of us would like, at a time of crisis, to know why. Why? Why did God allow this to happen? Whatever it is in your life, why did God allow that to happen in your life? Why did God allow that pain to take place in your life? How does it fit into His plan? Here's the deal. God does not often explain. In chapter 40 of Isaiah, just a little bit after the reading that we did this morning, you can find this verse. It says this: "Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed Him as His counselor?" And the answer to that is clear. No one understands. So instead of God offering explanations, what He does instead is He offers comforts during those times. Isaiah wants to know what message of comfort he can give to the people. And the answer is in verse 9. It says, "You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." This is an incredible source of comfort. Knowing that when you ask the question, why did God let this happen, or where was God, the answer is very simple and very clear. It's almost too simple for us sometimes. And the answer is, here is God. He is there with us in the middle of it. The sad thing is that God is present with everybody, but not everybody realizes and experiences that presence, that comfort that God can offer to us during hard, horrific times in our lives. They say that the Amazon River, I don't know, I haven't measured it, but they say that it's the largest river in the world, and that the mouth of it is 90 miles across. They say so much water comes from the Amazon that it can be detected in the currents 200 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean. That's pretty incredible. Just think of the force that's coming out of that river, right? You can detect the currents of the Amazon 200 miles into the Atlantic Ocean. One irony of ancient navigation is that sailors in ancient times died for a lack of water. They would be caught in windless waters out in the South Atlantic, and they would drift and they would become helpless and they were dying of thirst, and I read that sometimes ships would pull up or approach to another ship and they would beg for help. They would say, "We're out of water. Can you give us some water? Can you spare some water for us?" And the other ship would just simply say, "Drop your buckets. Drop your buckets, because the water that it was there was not salty water. It was fresh water that was being pushed in from the Amazon River. The irony of our world is that we are all in the presence of God, but we don't let ourselves experience His comforting peace. Like the ancient sailors dying of thirst because they think that the sea is salty, when all the time it's fresh water from the Amazon that they're in, that surrounds them. We suffer alone without reason. God is right here in our midst. And many don't realize it. So they don't find the comfort that's available through God. How should we deal with crisis? We should listen to the Word of God. We should talk with our God. We should share the hope of our God with people that need to hear about our God. Tragedies and crisis and suffering, they come into our lives. They change our lives forever. But the suffering does not last forever. As Isaiah would say, they fade away like the flowers of the field. What endures is the Word of God. Our reading from Isaiah said, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God, the Word of God stands forever. The thread that runs through each of these stories, the stories of Job and the stories of Isaiah, and many others that are in Scripture as well, was God. God. That's the common thread. God was present, and God still is present. God listens to our prayers. God loves each of us. And when Isaiah asked, "What shall I cry out?" God's response is, "Say to them, here is your God." Remind them that God is still here. In Isaiah, the crisis was coming to an end, right? For us, this horrific tragedy of Max has just come to light. It's just begun. This community has been and will be changed forever. We don't know how all this will end. But God's Word remains the same. And because of that, God's Word can bring comfort to each one of us and to our community that so desperately needs it. I want you to hear this. God can use you. God can use you in this moment, in this tragedy, in this crisis, in this brokenness. You can be the vessel of hope and comfort in the midst of the pain and the suffering by simply remembering that God's Word remains forever and sharing the hope that comes from the pages of God's Word. God is here. Even in the midst of today's current mourning, even in the midst of whatever crisis you are in today or might be in tomorrow, if it ends up not being a routine day. I truly believe that God will work through this moment in our community. I have no doubts in that. God will make Himself known. And so often the way that God does that is through the lives of us as believers. As a community, as a church, as a believer, let's choose, let's make a choice this morning to share the hope and the comfort that we have with those that need to hear it. Let's not remain silent, but let's speak up. When the opportunity arises, let's speak out
about our God, the God of Isaiah, the God of Job, the God that has walked with you throughout your life, throughout the crises that you have faced. So often we don't like to talk about the crises that we face in life because it can be a little bit humbling for us oftentimes. That might be the greatest waste of a crisis. When we are not willing to share how God walked with us through whatever it is that we faced. What we have looked at today is true. Not only for the crisis that's revolving around us right now in our little tiny community, but it's also true in all times of life. When you face crisis, have faith. Have faith. Know that just like in Isaiah, verse 11, I think it is, I don't know, I can't see that far. Verse 10, that God is here. He is right there with you. What often needs to happen is we need to open our hearts, our eyes, and our ears to sense His presence in those times. We're going to spend a few minutes ending our time of studying God's Word a little bit differently than we normally do. So I'm going to ask you to work with me on this a little bit. I think that this could be a good time for us as a congregation to just pray together. So I'm going to ask you to do two things. Either by yourself individually or with the group of people that you're sitting with, if you feel comfortable, pray together. I want you to pray for two things. I want you to pray absolutely for the community that we're in and what's going on and all those involved in regards to the situation with Max and his life. His loss of life. But also be in prayer for other crises that are going on in your lives. There may be relational crises. There might be legal crises. There might be health crises. There are all kinds of different crises that each one of us could be facing today. And the rest of us don't know. Just like Max in that upstairs bedroom window, we didn't know. We're going to spend time praying and recognizing that God is still there with us and asking Him to open our hearts, our eyes, our ears to His presence in those times and how He might choose to use us even as vessels of hope in our communities and in other people's lives during those times. Father God, we come to You. We thank You for the privilege, for the honor of being a part of Your kingdom and Your kingdom's plan. Lord God, we would pray that as we go into each day of our lives, that as a church, that as individuals that make up the church, that we would truly be vessels of hope. Lord God, we know that there are so many hurting people in our world. So many people that are facing such great, huge, overwhelming crises in their lives. My prayer would be, Lord God, that You use us. Use Your messengers from this church, from this body, to be able to say, God is still there. Here's how I know that. Here's what I've experienced in my life. And bring hope into the lives of others. Lord God, we love You. We trust You and we praise You this morning. It's in Your holy name we pray. Amen.